Turn with me to Proverbs 18 and verse 10 for just a little while this morning. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. I want to remind you that the crushing things in life are not taken from you. There's no place in faith that you can come to where life won't have those crushing moments. God wants you to know Him enough to trust Him. He wants you to know His character enough to put your faith exclusively in Him and not waver in your faith. He wants you to know of His faithfulness, and the way He wants you to know it is not just me telling you He's faithful, but declaring His character, His unchanging character. One thing God said about Himself, He said, "I am the Lord God of Israel, and I change not." Everything else changes, but God remains the same. One of our great fundamental underpinning scriptures of our faith is the statement that Jesus made concerning Himself. Jesus Christ, the same, or the Bible made about Jesus. Jesus Christ, the same. Everybody say the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord God of Israel that changeth not in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to know when He returns, after all the time that has passed. The Bible said, "Ye men of Galilee, when He ascended, why stand ye gazing into heaven?" This same Jesus. That's what I love about anything you learn about God or about Jesus Christ. It doesn't change with the times. It doesn't change no matter how man changes or the church changes. He remains the same. And because of that sameness, He remains faithful. Can you say amen? Amen. The key to faithfulness is someone who doesn't change. I had someone, I try to be faithful to Christ, and you know, I'm retired from my other job, my little job, and now I can get back into the job that I was called to initially in love. But after 12 years of working with in the other situation up until 30 days ago, one man who I had worked with for years and years and years, we were sitting in the break room together, and I'll never forget, he's a tall black man, just sweet-hearted man, big man. I'm glad he was sweet. He was so huge. Amen. Had muscles where I don't even have places. But he had a sweet, sweet spirit. And I didn't know he was observing me. We don't always know if anybody notices that we're Christian or we're trying to follow Jesus faithfully. But people do notice if you're following Jesus faithfully. And he said something to me, really blessed me. He said, "You know, I've been watching you for years, Rev. Watching you for years." And he said, "One thing that I appreciate about you, no matter what comes, what goes, what happens," he said, "you're always the same. You're always the same. You're the same man." There's something about God bringing us to that place of stability. God wants you to know He's the same. He doesn't change. There's preaching that has changed. The cross is no longer the focal point in much preaching, but Jesus is the same. Can you say amen? There are preachers that are compromising, but Jesus is the same. Hallelujah. The church is veering off. There are whole denominations that are veering from the holy word of God and kind of making it up to fit into a society and a culture that is fallen. Jesus never changes. He always remains the same. So whatever you learn about Him, whatever you discover about God, it will stand the test of time. Amen. Times change. People change. But God stays the same. Hallelujah. And it's that sameness that produces His faithfulness. That's why in the book of Lamentations, He said, our hope is new every morning. Your mercy is new because you don't change. Even when people rebel against you, it doesn't change you. You're still a merciful God. You won't quit being merciful. The New Testament says it this way, if I deny Him, He cannot deny Himself, but remaineth faithful. Can you say amen? He will not change toward you. Now, He can't bless you and He can't deliver you. He can't set you free. He can't save you unless you receive Him and bow to Him. But I want you to know your rebellion doesn't change His desire to save you. Amen. You can't make Him mad enough to say, "I don't want you."
That's right.
The unpardonable sin is rejecting the one who comes to call you to Christ. It's not because God is writing you off. It's because the heart is writing God off. And God can do no more. My Bible said He's not willing because He never changes that any should perish, but that all might have eternal life. Amen. There are people that we cannot imagine that God would want to save. But let me make myself very clear. He does want to save them. There's not a creature on this planet that God doesn't want to save. You say, well, I know people that don't deserve saving. One of them, amen, one of them is in the mirror. Can you say amen? None of us deserve saving. If you think for one minute that you were sweet enough, kind enough, good enough, righteous enough to deserve being saved, you don't understand salvation. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous. Say that again. No, not one. And why is that in there? Because everybody thinks they know someone who is so close to God and so perfect. Bible said there's not even one. Not even one. You know, when John is in heaven in the book of Revelation, the Bible said that he sees the Ancient of Days sitting upon the throne. He sees God sitting upon the throne. He sees he sees him, and he says, "Who is worthy? Who is worthy?" This is whether or not this salvation really worked or not. When you're in the presence of God, and that book, which most Bible scholars believe was the title deed to the earth, literally that Adam gave up when he sinned and compromised, and Satan, by virtue of Adam's compromise, amen, became the small g god of this world. Amen? Amen. Who is worthy to take the book from him that sits upon the throne and to break the seal on that book? Who is worthy? Because the book of Revelation culminates with us reigning and ruling with Jesus forever. But it's got to begin with someone worthy enough in our behalf of all fallen men and women to take the book from him that sits upon the throne. Who is worthy? And a search was made in heaven and in earth, and not one was so perfectly righteous. Not one was found in heaven and earth that was worthy among men. Nobody that's preceded us to heaven, nobody that's left on planet earth was worthy to take the book from him that sits upon the throne. And suddenly there's a sinking feeling in John's heart that if we can't see this thing culminating in us ruling and reigning with Jesus, then this salvation is not complete. And the angel said, "Don't weep, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed." And see, his victory is contingent upon our victory, is contingent upon his victory. That's why the Bible said, oh, listen, you didn't hear me. Our victory is contingent on his victory. If he didn't do that in our behalf, we can never hope to achieve victory. But the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he hath prevailed. And he is worthy. As a man who never sinned, not just as a God who became man, but as a man who never sinned, he is worthy to take the book from him that sits upon the throne and to open the seals thereof. That means that, amen, there's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Can you say, man? If you think you're going to sit in heaven and strum a harp on a cloud, I've never been intrigued by that. That never really, that everybody say boring.
Boring.
I do not plan to sit on a cloud for eternity and strum my harp. Amen. That's not God's plan. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. Amen. The new Jerusalem, wherever it is now in the heavens. Let me tell you something. It's not going to stay there. Amen. John said, I saw the new Jerusalem like a bride getting ready for a wedding, all gussied up. Hallelujah. And I saw it, what? Coming down. Praise God. Amen. Can you imagine? There's a heavenly city going to come down. Isn't that something? A heavenly city is going to come down. Praise God. They're going to have to make room for it. Amen. The Bible said this, there's going to be no more sea. God's going to open this thing up for man. Listen, it's going to come down. Let me give you the dimensions of that city. That city is 1,500 miles square, 1,500 miles square, and 1,500 miles tall. Everybody say 1,500 tall. 1,500. Honey, there's not just room at the cross for you. There's room in the condo. Can you say amen? Isn't there? I mean, think of how big this thing is. And the Bible said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And John said, I saw it. This is the place. This is the place. And the reason he's building the place is so we can be together throughout all eternity. This is an incredible gospel that we're preaching. It's an incredible future that we have. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The Bible said when Christ comes to set up his kingdom upon this earth forever and ever, amen, that all the weaponry, all the military budgets of the world will be used for agricultural development. God will not even have to work any kind of miracles to feed everybody on this planet. You know why? Because all the military budgets will be turned into agricultural development. The Bible said they will beat their spears into pruning hooks for harvesting. Can you say amen? And their swords into plowshare. The plowing and the harvesting will be used for what normally was used for weapons of mass destruction and weapons to destroy life. Isn't it incredible the difference it makes? Because God never changes. God never changes. God never changes. I'm old school because there's no new school. God never changes. We don't need an edited form of this gospel. You know what has happened? We don't need a new progressive form of the gospel. We don't need the gospel softened. We don't need it hardened. We need it like it's written. Hallelujah. God never changes. The postmodern world needs to hear the same gospel that the first century church heard. It saved in the first century. It will save in the 21st century. It healed in the first century. It will heal in the 21st century. It delivered in the first century. It will deliver in the 21st century. Can you say amen? Jesus and him crucified is still the message that brings the great revival that God wants to send. Hallelujah. We don't need a new improved gospel because God never changes it. What he gave us is perfect. This is a perfect gospel. We don't need to put our spins on it to make it more palatable to a fallen world that resists and rejects the need to humble themselves before this mighty God. God resists the proud, but he does give grace to the humble. I'm glad I serve a God who changes not. So Paul said, I want you to know him. I want you to know him. I want you to know him. And I want you to know him by revelation. I want you to know him by personal realization of his presence, but I want you to know him by revelation. I want to impart to you something to this end, he said, that you might be established. Literally, set at one with another. He wanted every Christian that he ministered to in the churches to know Christ personally, to know God individually. I keep talking about to know him is to love him and talking about the first love in these services. And for years I have preached how to return to the first love. And I have just recently kind of discovered that so many Christians, when I talk about love, they don't know anything about that. When I talk about the beauty of the Lord, they don't know it. They know about biblical formulas to receive stuff that they need, but they don't know him. And I've always been a proponent, if you need healing, seek the healer. If you need deliverance, seek the deliverer. Don't just seek deliverance, seek the deliverer. It's real easy to be delivered when you seek out the deliverer. And the art, literally the spiritual art of seeking God, seems to be that lost art. We have people to dispense all these things to us through their anointings. God wants you to know him personally. Can you say amen? He wants to manifest himself when we come together. He wants to do wonders again and miracles again. I believe that healing is going to be restored to the common church service, not just delegated to a great revival meeting with an anointed man or woman. I believe the healing of the sick is going to come back to the church. Amen. As God manifests himself as the healer to us. Can you say amen? James 5:14 said, if there be any sick among you, let them seek out a mildly anointed evangelist. With gifts of the Spirit flowing. No, let them call the elders of what? The local church, wherever it may be. Why? Where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Well, if he's here and he manifests himself, if the healer is here and he manifests himself, then we're going to have healing here. Amen. Can you say amen? If the deliverer is here and he manifests himself, we're going to have deliverance here. If the Savior's here and manifests himself, people are going to get saved here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So let them call who? The elders of the church, let them do what? Get them healed? No, let them anoint them with oil and pray. Amen. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Why? Because the Lord who is here being manifest by the Holy Spirit, the Lord will raise them up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 The Lord will raise them up because the Lord is here. We're missing God and looking for someone with an anointing. And the Lord is in our midst. Can you say amen? Everybody say the Lord is here. Hallelujah. Wow. The Lord is here. It was the whole issue in the Old Testament. A king wanted Israel destroyed. He knew when they're right with God, you can't touch them. You can send all the armies you want, have all the ambushes you want. The Lord is in the midst of them. He hires a prophet that is willing to compromise for gold and silver. We got some of them out there today. I'm not even going to go there. I'm too happy talking about Jesus to deal with that right now. Can you say amen? But he offered him gold and silver, said, listen, I want you to tell me how to defeat Israel. I want you to curse them. You're always blessing them. I want you to curse them so I can defeat them. Because as long as they're under the blessing of their God, no one can defeat them. So he says, okay, give me the money. He went out and got ready to curse them, and guess what came out of his mouth? Blessing. God would not even let him curse them. Because he can't legitimately do it. And even though he was compromised, God is the same. He said, I won't let you curse them. One of the little things you might have missed in Psalm 105 tells about the Exodus when they came out. It's a wonderful psalm, and there's some really neat stuff in there. It said when they left Israel, not even the dogs were able to bark. Not even the dogs were able to bark. He brought them out. One of those things, he brought them out with gold and silver. He said, I don't want you beholden to anybody. This is not to make you proud. This is not to make you worldly. This is to make you, amen, independent from dependence on other nations. I'm your source. He brought them out with gold and silver. And listen to this. And there was not one feeble one among them. 3 million people, not a feeble one among them. That's my only problem with that old representation of the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. When they were moving out, you saw them with carts pulling the sick and the infirm and the elderly that couldn't walk. Oh, no. When God brought them out, amen, he brought strength into a whole people. And the Bible said no matter what your age or stage of life, when they got up to walk out of Egypt, he brought them out, Psalm 105 said, with gold and silver. And there was not one, not come on, say it with me. Not one, not one, not one. Say it again, not one. There wasn't just blood on the doorpost. Amen. They ate the lamb. They partake of the, wow, they ate the lamb, praise God. And there was not one feeble one among them. And the Bible said when they brought them out, the dogs were not allowed to bark. Now, I live in a neighborhood that everybody, no one has alarm systems. You know why they don't have alarm systems? Because they got pit bulls, Rottweilers, German Shepherds, and Chihuahuas. I'm going to tell you something about a Chihuahua. If a Chihuahua was big as a Rottweiler, he'd eat every dog in the community. Wouldn't he? They think they're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. They do, without even drinking anything. Amen? Chihuahuas will let you know when somebody come around in their territory. When I walk my two dogs in that neighborhood, there's a Chihuahua. Cheyenne is her name. And there is a half a block that she has claimed for hers. Not just her yard, but the whole half a block is my half a block. No dogs go in that half a block. I'm telling you, big dogs just stay away from there because she's coming. I got a big dog that could just give her one chomp. It'd just be one big bite for my big dog, Sophie. She's a good-natured dog, but that Cheyenne come up and got near her hindquarters, and I said, Cheyenne, go, go, go. And Cheyenne, coming, coming, coming. And she turned around, and she turned the hair up on her back, you know, and it stood up about that high, my big dog, and she growled and tried to turn, and I held her back, and Cheyenne figured out, you know, maybe I don't have my buffalo on this dog. Maybe I... I mean, she's barking all the time, but while barking, kind of easing back a little bit. Back off, Cheyenne. I like you. You're a sweet dog. But they're huge. And in my community, you can tell where, if my son walks them, I can tell where he is if I want to go out and find him. You know why? Because it starts over here. Everybody's got them. They got them. Big, mean, ugly dogs. Amen. I prayed hard as I've ever prayed one night when I was walking. Our two dogs and two pit bulls got out of the yard and came running at us. And my son was with me. My 36-year-old son was with me. And I looked around for him. And he was tearing off. And I thought, okay, Lord, it's you and me, because he done run. If the pit bull's going to jump somebody, it ain't going to be him. It's going to be me and poor old Sophie. And they come running, and the owner come out, and here's these pit bulls, and they're sniffing our dogs, and our dogs are just, you know. And, of course, I'm just saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And they didn't bite, they didn't growl, they didn't snarl. They just sniffed around, and he was able to get one of them back home and then come get the other one back home. But my son was way over there in somebody else's yard, his heart just pounding. He said, Dad, I thought they were going to get us. I thought, us? They ain't going to get you. You're way over there. But you know what is mighty to me? That 3 million people, almost 3 million, over 2.5 million people got up and began to march out of Egypt, and not one dog. God was such a... See, God's victories are so absolute and complete. He said, not only won't I let Pharaoh raise a voice against you, and I won't let his army raise a voice against you, I'm going to muzzle every dog in this town. And they're going to see all this commotion. They're going to want to bark like they've never wanted to bark. But they're not even... Listen, he can muzzle lions too. Can you say amen? Paul didn't even forget that story of Daniel. Paul said, God has shut to the mouth of the lion. Make no mistake. You say, well, why did they kill him then? Because it was time for him to lay down his life to seal the gospel in blood. Listen, this gospel was sealed with the blood of those who knew Jesus and knew that he was raised from the dead. And it caused many thousands of others and still causing tens of thousands of others to come to know Christ as their Savior. And it was time for Paul to be offered up. But until it was time, amen, God shut to the mouth of the lion. Isn't it good to know that if you keep your trust in Jesus, you're not going home till your time. Someone tried to kill John Hagee, but it wasn't time. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone tried to kill, a guy pulled a knife on me. I don't know if he was going to kill me or not. He didn't know if he was going to kill me or not, but he had the knife out in his hand in my office, and there was nobody in there but me and him, and he was AWOL from the Veterans Hospital. He had mental problems, and he's in my office with a knife out, and God delivered me. Shut to the mouth of the lion. Amen. What a great and mighty God that we serve. Glory to God. A man called our home, called us everything in the world, called every nasty thing you've ever heard, and told me directly, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to kill you. And as I drove up Sunday after Sunday to the church, amen, I realized that if someone wanted to walk around that corner or walk while I was in the pulpit, amen, and do whatever they wanted, I called the sheriff's department and I told them about the threatening phone calls. And they said, we can't do anything unless they do something. And I thought, well, if they do something, what can you do? Boy, I'm glad I know the Lord. Can you say amen? Wow, I'm glad I know the Lord. I mean, you know, it's either get you a 9mm or put your trust in God. Well, I'd rather put my trust in the Lord. And I begin to pray for the person who did that. And I begin to pray for God's protection. And I begin to realize how much we need this covering that God offers us. And I got a phone call a few weeks later that said, sir, I'm the person who called you and said those nasty things to your family. I had to change my phone number, and I'm the one who threatened to kill you, and I want you to know that I'm deeply sorry. Would you please forgive me? And I thought, this is victory. That's better than a 9mm. Can you say amen? When a man's ways please the Lord, he's even able to make his enemies be at peace with him. Amen. Don't mean everybody's going to love you, but they have to come to terms with you, because if you stay right with God, they cannot defeat you. Can you say amen? You didn't hear me. I said, if you stay right with God, they can't defeat you. Oh, you didn't hear me. We haven't even started this sermon. But if you stay right with God, they cannot defeat you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's victory in Jesus. Say it with me. There's victory in Jesus. And his victory is our victory. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. This is so important to get today. Amen. This mighty one who changes not. That's what I love about the Lord. Amen. Generation after generation comes and goes. We've got a different approach to preaching and ministry. We've got the seeker-friendly churches where we're trying to get them in by finding out what they want and trying to kind of ease them toward the cross and the blood and repentance and the gospel. Amen. Jesus never preached that way. He would, if he came today and he wore a vested suit and he came up in a nice automobile and he walked in with a nice haircut and a well-trimmed beard, and he just looked like this evangelist from somewhere. Guess what he would say today in the 21st century? The exact thing he said when he walked the shores of Galilee. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why I love the Word of God, because it doesn't change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his Word remains the same day in and day out. Generations come and go, but the book as it's written stays the same. Some Bible societies have decided to put out Bibles that had changes, subtle but significant changes in them. Thank God the Church of Jesus Christ, by and large, has rejected those Bibles, and they never went to print. They wanted to bring out a Bible that fit the culture, that did away with all of the references to God as a he. Amen. Took away all the hymn references, and they sent out some copies to several leading denominations, and thank God back then, a few years ago, those leaders of those denominations said, if you put that book out, mess with the Bible. And this wasn't a paraphrase. It's supposed to be another translation of the Bible. Not a paraphrase, but a translation. But just leaving out all references to God as a hymn, because someone may be offended. Amen. And you know what they said? They said, if you put up those Bibles, not only will we not endorse them, we will tell our congregations, don't you touch that. You're messing with the divine Word of God. There are Bible publishers out there that don't care about truth. They care about sales. There are others that care about truth. What we need it as it was written. We need it as it was written now, because we're going to answer to God as it's written. And the good thing about it is that God that healed back then heals now, just like it's written. Yes. Amen. We don't have to rewrite it. We don't have to change it. We don't have to edit. That God that delivered back then delivers now. The God that covered Israel, amen, covers us now. The Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee, John said, is walking among the lampstands. He's right involved with the church. He's not sitting aloof in his heaven. Can you say amen? Where did he see him? Walking among the lampstands. You know what? The candle. I know it says candlestick, but everywhere candlestick is in the book of Revelation, it is lampstand in the Greek. That's what it means. It's an oil-fired lamp. Amen. And the churches, the seven churches, were represented as oil-fired lamps. The Holy Spirit wants to cause our light to shine. He's the one that gives us a testimony. He's the one that's causing the gospel to go forth in power. Can you say amen? And Jesus is where? He's walking right in the midst of the lampstand, and he holds the seven stars, the ministers of those churches. He's holding them in his hand. Oh, sometime when I'm preaching, I feel his hand upon me, heavily upon me and strong upon me. Amen. And it gives me courage and boldness and authority. You could look mean at me right now and it won't faze me. It may make me break my heart when I get home, but right now it won't faze me, because I feel his hand upon me. Glory to God. It's so emboldening when you feel his hand and you know he doesn't change, and you know this book, amen, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will abide forever and forever. Can you say amen? Halaba, ancient words ever true, changing me, changing you. Can you say amen? It's changing us, folks. Amen. God is going to be to us everything he was to ancient Israel. God is going to be to us everything Jesus was in the New Testament. He is no less God, and Jesus never changes. Can you say amen? The Christ I declare unto you today is the same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee over 2,000 years ago. That Jesus is in our midst today. And everything he did for them in that day, he will do for us in this day. Hallelujah. He doesn't change. Denominations change. There are whole churches that if the founders of those churches knew the changes they have made, they wouldn't just turn over in their grave. They'd kick the top out of it and come out and rebuke people. But we've taken license with the Word of God. We've decided to try to fit comfortably into the culture. And the culture is flowing away from God. There's no way this gospel will ever fit comfortably into the culture. It's always been at variance. And it's okay. Thank God for the unchanging truth that we have. I want to hear the truth preached on Sunday. I don't know about you, but this unchanging God's important to me. I don't want the God that changes with the times. Amen? The Bible said don't meddle with them. In the Old Testament that are given to change. The Antichrist, when he comes, is going to make changes, and the church is going to have to compromise in order to receive him and work with him. And that compromise has already begun in the name of tolerance. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But I'm telling you something. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. Let me read this scripture as we get ready to close. Listen to it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Proverbs 18:10. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Now I want you to understand the name itself is not what they're running into. The name of the Lord, because it reveals his unchanging character. Say his unchanging character. You know, names back then were given differently than now. There are books, if you're pregnant, you're about to have a child, you can look up names for them. But names fit the character. I mean, here's this baby holding the heel of another baby, and he gets a name that denotes his character. It's incredible. Amen? Names showed forth something of the character of a person in those days. And when the name of God was revealed, when people knew something, found out something about his character, though he is a spirit and he's not visible, he's no less a personality. He's real. And they would discover things about him, and then they would say something about what they discovered about him. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower, means a revelation of his character. And the righteous runneth into it. There's a trust that develops when we know his unchanging character. That's why Paul was praying for that same thing. He said, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the whole host of heaven, his name. Pray that he would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Can you say amen? I want you to know him. And the Holy Spirit's here to help you to know him. That's how he got them established, set at one with him. God is the strong tower for his people, a place of complete safety. His name is revealed to us that we may trust him with an immediate and complete faith. If he never changes and you find out what he's like, then your faith doesn't shake. Your faith becomes focused and stabilized. Psalm 20 and verse 1 said, the Lord heareth thee in the day of trouble. The name of the Lord of Jacob defend thee. Is this just simply name dropping? The reason I know you can't just use the name if you don't have a revelation of the character. And you just try to use the name because there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew. And they decided if we got in the... There's so many people with devils in this town. If we get in the casting out of devils profession, we'll be rich. So many people are messed up, demon oppressed and possessed. We get in the business of deliverance and have them pay us to do it, we'll be rich. And we know how it's done because we have seen it done. We saw Paul do it. And they did it in the name of Jesus. We can use that name, get those things done. So So they found him a guy that had a guy that wilder than wild and the demon possessed. And so they gathered around him and they said, "We adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches." See, they didn't know Jesus, but they're going to throw this name out there. For I want you to know this is more than just throwing names around. This is getting to know this God intimately by revelation. "We adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches." Well, the formula is correct. But they didn't know God. "Come out of him." Bible said that guy jumped on them. 7-1. And that guy was demon possessed. He jumped on them and left them beaten and naked. He tore their clothes off and beat them half to death. And they decided to get out of the demon casting out business. Can you say, man? "It's they that do know their God that shall be strong and do exploits." Amen. That know their God. So when we talk about the name, you can't just live like the devil and call on the name. But if you repent and bow to him and him alone and call on the same name, it all changes. In the name of Jesus, in my name, you will tread on serpents. Can you say amen? In my name, you will cast out devils. In my name, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover in my mighty name. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this room today. Hallelujah. Psalm 20 and verse 7 said, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God." Everybody say, "We'll boast in the name of the Lord our God." To boast is to have confidence in and to trust in. Amen. Again, we're not just talking the talk. We're walking the walk. We're living a life of trust in God. No matter what happens, we trust in the Lord. In biblical times, a name represented a person's character, his attributes, or nature. One of the names you'll never hear, I've never heard anybody named, is Lucifer. And yet Lucifer, before the fall, was not a bad name at all. Diablos is bad because it means devil, maligner. Apollyon, destroyer, attributed to the devil. Satan, an opposer. Accuser, all of that is negative, but Lucifer is not negative at all. You know what Lucifer means? Light bearer. He was the anointed cherub that ministered in the presence of God in the coals of the altar. He represented that wonderful light and glory that emanated. He was a light bearer, and he became the prince of darkness. And now the name Lucifer connotates evil and wickedness. Told you about the 70s, the early 60s, actually, in the hippie culture in California. First day at school, all these kids are coming into school. These teachers are having to deal with these hippie names for kids, you know, like Sunbeam and Moonbeam and all these different names. You know, it's their first day riding the bus. It's the whole first day school experience. And one little boy, you know, came and so there was Moonbeam and there's Sunbeam and there's all these Sunflower and all these different. What was Frank Zappa's kids? Does anybody remember his what he named them? Anyway, it's really weird stuff. It came out of the 60s. Everybody was probably high when they named their kids, so they named them these crazy names. So there's one kid's, you know, they're looking for a name tag on him and they don't see a name tag and they look down here in his shirt and there's a little piece of paper and it says fruit stand. Well, the teacher's done been moonbeaming this one and sunbeaming that one and you know, all these weird names. And so she says, "Hey, you know, if that's what they want to call their kid, that's fine." So all day long, fruit stand, this way, moonbeam, this way. Put him on the bus and the bus driver's saying to all these kids, "Now, you let me know when you get to your stop. You let me know when you get to your stop. Don't forget where your stop is." The little boy's sitting there, and he says, I don't know where my stop is, but Mama, give me this note. It said the fruit stand. There's a bus stop at the fruit stand. That's where you get off. His name was Joey, by the way. Those names don't denote a character. Have nothing to do with who the person is. But when the names of God came into play, it denoted his unchanging character. And once you discover something about him by revelation, it never changes. That's the stuff that'll stay with you after the service is over, after the euphoria of the anointing lifts. Amen. That unchanging character of God, that truth about him stays inside of you no matter what. Amen. And that, his faithfulness is hinged on that. That's the underpinning for knowing that God is going to be faithful to you, because he's a God who changes not. Can you say amen? Whatever he was, he is, and he always will be. Praise God. Hallelujah. To know God's name is to have his character revealed. Essentially, to know him, to know who he is. To boast in his name means to have confidence in who he is. Can you say amen? Now, we're getting ready to go into the names of God. Let me just read some of the redemptive names. One of them is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. The first place you find that name is Genesis 23, 13 and 14. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place something he discovered about God. What is that? That God will provide. He discovered something else. He may not be there when you want him, but he's always right on time. Somebody give him praise in here. He had the knife raised. God provided. God showed up and God showed out. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. And he said, I've discovered something about God here today. So I'm going to call him Jehovah Jireh. What I discovered just now, I'm going to call him that forever. And to this day, his name is the provider. Can you say amen? I said, to this day, he's still the provider. My God shall provide. He was called him Jehovah Jireh. Paul said to that church that he'd given so liberally, my God shall supply, provide all of your need according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Whatever he was, he is, and he always will be. And here I am 2,000 years later in an economic meltdown, declaring unto you, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. God will still provide for you. Hallelujah. Oh, it's time to quit, and I feel like preaching now. Hallelujah. And man's extremity becomes God's opportunity. He lets us get down to the wire. Amen. So his name can be glorified in the answer. Hallelujah. What a wonderful revelation. God is a provider. He's not a cosmic bellhop for whom we can press a button to get things. He is a parental divider. He's a heavenly father. And he takes responsibility for his covenant people. If we stay right with him, he will move mountains. He will cause meal barrels to not run empty. He will call cruses of oil to keep on pouring. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. There's no scripture reference to that, but it is a biblical statement supported throughout all of the Bible. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to keep covenant in these times with his people as we return to him. He's returning to us as our provider. We realize we can't trust the Dow Jones. We can't trust the stock market. We can't trust their job, amen, to offer us a retirement in the future. We can't trust anything but the Lord. But we're returning to him, therefore. And the good thing about this is, as we return to him, he does what? Return to us. Amen. You want to take a look in the Old Testament, what happened when Israel came back to God? Amen. The covering, amen, came back over Israel. Hallelujah. Their helper and their healer and their deliverer stood up in their behalf again. Amen. When God comes back, we're going to know he's back. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And the world's going to see that he's back among his people. I could go into all this, but there's seven of them. And we're just now warming up to God, our provider. Sing hallelujah. God hath provided a lamb. Can you say amen? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. How's he going to do it? I have no idea sometimes. I just know the Lord is a provider. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Israel discovered that. Abraham discovered that. And he said, now, from this day on, I will never doubt for 1 minute that God will provide for me and for the house of Israel. God is a provider. I discovered that about his character. I have let that discovery be made known in a name. Amen. How many want to get into these names of God and know something about his unchanging character that will bring our faith, be a catalyst for our faith, and just get us to the point, amen, that we're just like bulldogs hanging on to the truth of God and the promises of God. So many battles have been lost at the last minute when we wavered. And if we'd stood just a little while longer in faith, God would have come through. Can you say amen? And I want to see God come through. How about you? I want to see God come through. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. What a wonderful incentive to trust him. He's a God who takes pleasure in meeting our needs. I love Psalm 145, verse 14 through 19 in closing. Listen. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, everybody say the provider, and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. If you don't think God is a provider, Jesus said, go and look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil or spin. But Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed as one of these. If God so clothed the lilies of the field, how will he not also clothe ye, O ye of little faith? In what? That God is a provider. The whole, all nature declares God provides. Amen? God provides what those lilies need to grow. The earth, the sun, the rain, he provides. Go and look at the fowls of the air. Amen? In other words, every morning they're singing. They get up singing. They don't get up and say, good Lord, morning. They get up and say, good morning, Lord. Can you say amen? And they begin to sing. Why? Because they know they're going to find what they need for that day. God's made a provision. Can you say amen? God has not only created them, he's provided for them. And what he's telling us is you can do the same thing. God's going to provide for you. Keep your trust in him. Understand this about him. You're not trying to get a God to turn loose something by bombarding heaven and storming heaven with your faith. God says he opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Every living thing. Hallelujah. That's because by nature and character, God is a provider. And the greatest provision he's made is his own son. As our sacrifice lamb. But God provided, didn't he? Glory to the Lord. The Lord is righteous, verse 17. In all his ways, holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh to all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry. And will save them or deliver them. That's that holy part. When we begin to reverence the holy. And come before God with grateful hearts and trust him. Amen. He's going to manifest himself to us again in his great delivering power. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He'll bring water out of a flinty rock. He rains manna out of heaven. He takes a poor boy's lunch and feeds a multitude with it. Can you say amen? The Lord will provide. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord will provide healing. Praise God for his people. One of the provisions he's made is for our healing. It's a provision. It's a provision. It's a provision. Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound these many years, be healed? Why? Did she have a right to be healed? Because she's a daughter of Abraham. What does it mean to be a daughter of Abraham, a son of Abraham, the seed of Abraham? It means that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God. Can you say amen? And what is the benefit of having that kind of God, or this particular God is our God? Amen. Because someone found out that he was a great physician. Someone found out that he was a healer and a deliverer, and they gave him the name Jehovah Rapha. Amen. It's in his character. It's not just something he decides to do. It's what he is. Can you say amen? I will put none of these diseases upon thee which have come upon Egypt. Amen. Amen. Because I am what to you? Because I am what to you? Amen. I'll bless your food and your drink. Because I am what to you? Amen. Because I am what to you? I am the Lord, your physician. I am Jehovah Rapha. Can you say, man, I have revealed myself. See, that hasn't changed. The church has changed, but he hasn't. Amen. He's the same. Hallelujah. He's the Lord God of Israel. He changes not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. This is not something that is just Pentecostal. This is not Pentecostal. This is biblical. This is not Pentecostal. This is James 5:14. This is not full gospel. This is the gospel. Can you say amen? If there be any sick among you, why? Why is that blanket statement made? Because he is Jehovah Rapha. He has never changed. Hallelujah. We've changed. He has not changed. Hallelujah. I'm glad to declare unto you today, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. The same. What is this? This is olive oil. This is something you use by faith. You anoint with olive oil. But it isn't the olive oil that heals. Amen? And the prayer of faith, is that because of our great faith? It's our great God. It's just putting our trust in the one who never changes, the unchanging faithfulness of our great God and our good God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we just anoint with oil and put our trust in God. And the Lord, oh, yes. The Lord. See, our focus is too much on the anointing on the preacher, the anointing on the evangelist. My Bible said the focus is supposed to be on the Lord. Amen. Not the man of faith or even the prayer of faith, but the Lord raises them up. Of course, we have to have faith in the Lord, but we need to make sure it's in the Lord. Not the man, not the woman. Men and women come. Men and women have grand anointings. Men and women can fall and fail. But Jesus remains faithful. Nobody's failure shakes my faith. Breaks my heart, but it doesn't shake my faith. A lot of things that people fail that I looked up to break my heart, but it doesn't shake my faith. Because my faith is in the one who never fails. Can you say, man, how about you? My faith is established in Jesus. Glory to God. And no matter if someone came out, Paul said, if you get a letter from us, from anybody else or from us, and it's different from what you've already heard, you reject it. People can change, but the truth is unchanging. God is unchanging. Christ is unchanging. Hallelujah. And this is the rock, this unchanging revelation of Jesus. This is the rock that the church is built on, not Peter, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. God will provide. God will provide. Hallelujah. Brother, would you come and we're going to worship him. Did I give you a disc? Number one in just a moment. How many people in this room want to go deeper into the revelation of God and of Jesus Christ to where we are established? We're set at one with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christian groupies following evangelists across the country that never get established in the Lord can only release their faith because of someone else's overflow. They never come to a place when they're in their deepest, darkest hour that they can recognize God's presence with them. This actually happened. I wish I could read it verbatim. I'll try to tell it as completely, truthfully, without any embellishing that I can. But in an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico, during a great storm, because of structural weaknesses, that oil rig literally turned upside down. Everyone got out but one man who was trapped in an inner room in the oil rig. And it is upside down, and it turns upside down, and now it sinks. And he's in the darkness in an air pocket. In this upside down oil rig. And he's closed from all light. But he knows he's in an air pocket because the water is lapping at his chin. He is named. His name was in the newspaper. He has a testimony now. And he begins to pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm so glad the days of miracles and the supernatural and visitations and manifestations are not over. Amen. The Bible, without God being able to manifest himself, is a holy book. It should be revered. It's full of truth. But it is not complete without God. They never preached the gospel without God. Can you say amen? And we shouldn't try to either. The Bible said they preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And God confirmed the word with signs following. I believe when people are saved, that's one of the great signs that this is true, that God is manifest, that no man comes except the Spirit draw them. There's supernatural taking place, not just intellectual persuasion, when people are truly drawn and people are truly saved. Amen. We need the supernatural back. The devil's crowd, they're going deeper into the supernatural. There's parts of the church that seems to be moving away from the supernatural because we're so self-sufficient. Amen. If God didn't show up in some church meetings, they wouldn't notice that he wasn't there. Because they got the great preaching, they got the great singing, they got all the programs, they got all the dancers and entertainment. Amen. Whether or not people are saved and delivered and set free and healed doesn't seem to be a big issue. Well, it's a big issue with me. And it's a big issue with God. Because if God didn't show up in our church services when I was growing up, I would have been dead before I was 9 years old. Because I was diagnosed with cancer of the blood. And only God could address that. I had no bone marrow transplant. We didn't have insurance. They never hospitalized me because we had no insurance. They said, when he's in the last stages of the cancer, we'll put him in a hospital. Amen. In the county hospital. And it was an old, ugly place. It still is. It's been an old, ugly place ever since I was 8 years old. And it's still an old, ugly place. It's not even a hospital anymore. It's just an old, ugly place. Looked like something out of Psycho or something. Some of these real weird-looking, old, dingy, horror movie-type places. I am so glad that I was in a church where Jesus Christ was proclaimed the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Aren't you glad that you can read the Bible not as ancient history? Amen. Can you say amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad it's not just a historical account of that Jesus of yesteryear, that Jesus of yesterday? Oh, yeah, he is the same Jesus of yesterday. But he doesn't stop and stay back in the yesterday of time. Amen. In history, he's Jesus Christ today. And he will be Jesus Christ forever. Hallelujah. And what you learn about him, you can take a hold of and stand on it. Praise God. Yeah, hands were laid on me. But I can't tell you the man who came to our church to preach who laid hands on me. I have forgotten his name over time. His name is not the important name. Right. Can you say amen? But I never forgot the name that he called on when he prayed for me. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't pray for me in the name of his church or his denomination or his own name or some other saint's name. You know what? There was one name he called out when he rebuked cancer in my body. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command this cancer to die within him, this cancer in his blood. Hallelujah. And in that mighty name, God healed me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. That was then. This is now. Amen. Listen, if I need medicine, I'll take it. If I need hospitalization, I'll go. But let me brag on God just a minute. Amen. That was 8 going on 9. Amen. With cancer of the blood. I have never spent a night in a hospital, and here I am 62 years old. Hallelujah. God didn't heal me halfway. He didn't heal me part way. He didn't heal me a little bit, and the devil come put it back on me. Amen. His healing wasn't contingent on me standing up every day and trying to hold on to it. Amen. God's works are God's works. Amen. They are mighty. Amen. They last. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. And I'm here today declaring unto you the Jesus that met me right downtown Tampa in the Tampa Revival Center. That Jesus is here today. Praise God. That's the only Jesus I know. I don't know a lesser Jesus or a changed Jesus, but I know that mighty Savior, that mighty Deliverer. Hallelujah. And I'm going to keep declaring him. God's going to restore to his church all of those covenant promises and benefits and blessings. We are the seed of Abraham, and the blessings of faithful Abraham are ours by faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. His mighty, matchless, wonderful, marvelous name. Hallelujah. That's why the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. We have a revelation of God. Amen. We know something about him. And they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. The New International says, be steadfast and take action. And that's why there's the Acts of the Apostles. They knew something about their God. And it emboldened them. And God worked mightily in the midst of his people. I want to declare to you today, if you come for prayer, you can expect God to answer. I want you to know that. This is covenant stuff today. We're going to learn about God, not just through what we feel, because when we don't feel anything, the knowledge we have is going to stay. How many know what 5 times 4 is or are? What is that? How many know 5 times 4? Anybody know that? Wave at me if you know what that is. Have you been rehearsing your multiplication tables? You haven't been rehearsing your multiplication tables? When did you learn that, you reckon? 5 times 4 is 20. Third grade, fourth, when? Second or third grade, you learn that. And here you are. I'm not going to go into aging stuff here. But here you are way past that. And imagine that. And you haven't been rehearsing your times tables at all. But what you learned in the third grade, what you know about that, that knowledge is right there on the tip of your tongue. You didn't hesitate. 5 times 4 is... No, didn't get out your computers either. Didn't have to get on your BlackBerry. And, you know, you figured it out. Why? Why? Because now it's knowledge. You were taught it. It became knowledge. You discovered something that was true. It's knowledge. That's why God wants to get knowledge into his people. See, I don't always feel that manifest presence that I'm feeling right now. But I'm going to tell you something. What I know, yeah. I know, yeah. That I know, that I know. And when I don't feel, I stand on what I know to be true. Amen. I'm getting my knowledge from a book called the Bible. From the Word of Almighty God. Amen. And it's telling me about him. I love the man that said I was reading the Bible. The preacher, the great preacher of old said I was reading the Bible. And a man stood up. As I was reading the scriptures, a man stood up. A glistening man. A mighty man. A powerful man. A faithful man. Hallelujah. As I was reading the scriptures, I began to see Jesus stand up. And Jesus stand out. I said this one time, and I got it for Christmas. Next year, I'm going to start talking about a Cadillac. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. Listen. I don't need a Cadillac. Big gas-drinking hog. Anyway. Well, that's the Cadillac that my father-in-law and I'm trying to sell. It's a big gas-drinking hog. But it's a nice car, and if you need one, a big gas-drinking hog, it's for sale. Amen. But I drive it sometimes. But anyway, that's another thing. But you know what I used to love? Even into my early life as an adult, I still would go to children's section and look at a pop-up book. I thought they're the neatest things. Hey, man, you open a page and it's about a rabbit and a dog. And you open the page and the rabbit pops out. It's called a pop-up book. Anybody ever seen one of them? You open the page again, there's a turtle pops out. Open the page again, there's a barn with a cow popping out at you. Hey, man, if you pull this little thing right here, you make the cow wiggle its tail. Here I am, a grown man, looking at that pop-up book. You know what the Bible ought to be? To every child of God, it ought to be a pop-up book. You ought to be able to open the pages of this book and Jesus just pops out. Hallelujah. Amen. They all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Pop. And that rock, you're back in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And what pops out? And that rock was? Christ. Amen. They all drank of that bread that came, ate of that bread that came down out of heaven. Amen. And who was that bread represented? Jesus. Who was that? Who was that ram in the thicket? Who was that? Who's popping out there? Who is it? Who's going to become the eternal, the last sacrifice lamb to take our place? Can you say amen? Jesus is popping out. Glory to God. Everywhere you turn in here, Jesus is just popping out. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. The name of the Lord is still a strong tower. The righteous are still going to run to it and find themselves safe even in this troubled time. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to be number one, safe from a lack of provision, because the Lord is our shepherd God. He's a provider. We will not want. Will you stand to your feet today? Amen. Healing is coming back into God's house, and I believe it's going to start happening while we magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you have already come. We've laid hands on you and prayed with you. We've talked about the covering. We're going to talk more about the covering. But God is going to restore, amen, the mighty signs and wonders and miracles. Hallelujah. That he has begun in China. It's happening in South America. It's happening in South Vietnam. And I want to read a closing scripture, Acts 2. They that do know their God, listen to what their faith is built around here. Listen to Peter's first sermon in Acts 2, 22 through 23. This is not the day of Pentecost, but listen. He says, well, yes, it is. Listen to this. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands crucified and slain. But here's what he was telling them. I want you to know that his ministry, his claims as Messiah was marked with the supernatural. And he confirmed him among you with signs and miracles and wonders. And the primary sign that followed the preaching of the gospel was the healing of the sick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For I am in the midst of thee, as I promised, if you will reverence my presence. Show gratitude unto your God for all that he has given you. Recognize me that I am here to heal, and I am here to deliver, and I am here to set free. I am here to save and to sanctify. I am here to provide for every need of your life, beginning with your soul, but not stopping there, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 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 As my wife comes in just a moment to stand in for our dear sister and fellow laborer, WMAF, Betty, who's been diagnosed with melanoma, waiting for the doctor's prognosis, where they go from here. She said she's looking for a good report. Can you say amen? How many people have anything in your heart, your body, your life, your relationships, your family, something in need of a healing? Something in need of a healing. See, that's why God wants to restore all of this to us. Because we all need his touch. And he's here. I want to spend the rest of my life declaring Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to spend the rest of my strength declaring Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? I want to see God's people, his covenant children, walking in the fullness of his blessings once again, showing a gainsaying world what Deuteronomy 4:7 has declaring. Who has a God like our God? Can you say amen? He always distinguished himself with power, didn't he? Let the God that answers by fire be declared the only true living God. Amen? Our God has always answered by manifesting himself to his people. Isn't he a wonderful Savior today? Would you let that play? I just want, as this plays, Sister Venable to come and stand in for Betty and some of you brethren. And if you have a personal need for prayer, you're welcome to come. But we serve a mighty healing, delivering God, and He has not changed today. We're going to pray for Betty. I remember when I thought I had cancer of the tongue.